the Hellasta. Now, as usual, you know, Chazal open up just a few words, really. Of Chazal open up the entire area. Kehelas really is a sefer. I believe the most important philosophical sefer of the philosophical svarim. There are certain svarim that are dedicated to philosophical issues. The sefer Iyuv, which is dedicated to the human tragedy and how a person is supposed to view human tragedy. Sefer Iyuv. Sefer Mishle is the sefer that's devoted to acting according to Chochmah. That's Sefer Mishle. But the Sefer Kehelas really is a sefer is in my opinion the most important sefer in terms of philosophy, Ashkofa, Derech HaChayim, because it really brings out the very problems of life, of human existence. And in a way, I mean, where it opens up the whole the problems of life that people try to sweep under the carpet, so to speak, that people don't want to think about. And Kehelas is ruthlessly honest, and he takes up every different conceivable lifestyle and analyzes it. Of course, reading the Sefer is as usual. Reading our Sfarim, you really can't read them. I mean, you have to think into them and understand them. It's written in a cryptic way, because the Torah always had one problem. The problem is that since this is not just a philosophical system, the objective of a philosophical work is simply to state the truth, and that's the only concern of the writer. But in Yahadis always has a double concern, because on the one hand, because of the fact that there's Kedushas Am Yisrael, which means to say that there is a system that God saw fit at Sinai to establish a system. And the importance of there is a special significance to the fact that the system should continue to exist. I mean, so everybody it plays a role in the system. So if a person defects from the system, it's not simply a matter of a loss of an individual's loss of knowledge, but it's a loss to the whole society, to the whole system. That's the difference before Matan Torah and Lacha Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, the concern was the truth. Everyone being is only concerned about the truth. And if someone understood the ideas, mato. They didn't. Okay, that's it. But once, after Sinai and the establishment of Kol Yisrael, the existence of the Klal itself has an extremely important place. It's not just the philosophy of Yochin anymore, but there's a necessity to have an existence, a system. So in that case, you could have people that play a role, even unwittingly, in the survival of the system, and we must have them, because there's an objective that the system itself should continue. Of course, the heart of the system is always Chachmei Yisrael, the knowledge and the wisdom and the Chachmei. So that's really the nucleus of the system. But the system also works, and very importantly, to maintain itself, to maintain the system itself. So therefore, if you disclose ideas to people that are not on a level to really understand them, and they misunderstand the ideas, and they defect from the system, so then it's a tremendous loss in terms of God's will. So that's something which we know from Sinai, and which is always taken into consideration. So that's why the Chachamim always spoke in riddles, like it says in the beginning of Mishle, always in Mishalim. And in the end of Kehelas, Izin v'chiker tikin Mishalim harbe. Why Mishalim? Because a Mashal, a Chacham, can go into it and understand it, and the person that's a fool will not understand it, but he won't be harmed by it. Whereas if it were ideas that were written openly, So then there's always a danger that a person that's not ready for the idea will misunderstand the idea and leave the system and therefore harm not only himself, but the continuation, the continuity of the system. So that's why whenever all our writings always have a dual objective. And it's difficult many times to accomplish both things. I mean, it's difficult to accomplish both things because most people, or practically everyone, will always think that they're on the level to understand every idea. And since that's the case, if you tell somebody that I'm about to tell you a very important idea, but it may harm you because it's too deep for you, he'll immediately object and say that's not the case. And as a natural consequence, he's going to be harmed, and not only harm himself, but harm the system. So, at any rate, Chazal, of course, we must make recourse to Chazal, and the Chazal, like in a few words, really, it's amazing, but in a few words, they're talking about something else, but in a few words, they open up the Sefer Kehelas. And one of the big problems, we spoke about Kehelas many times, gave Shurim and Kehelas, and there are a lot of tapes on Kehelas, but I'd really like to isolate one area of Kehelas that I don't think we really addressed. Okay, it's interesting. The Gemara Shabbos says that Amar Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei the Rav Bikshu Chachomim Ligno Sefer Kehelas, that the Chachomim wanted to put away Sefer Kehelas. The Flamin of the Beis Shabbos. Okay, they wanted to hide it, put it away. What is Lignos? What is Gnisa? What does it mean? They wanted to. First of all, how can they do such a thing? Who wrote Sefer Kehelas? So the Gemara Bav Basra says that it was Chizki Anshe Yira. It's not the Gemara Bav Basra. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, in Mishlei Chafei, that it was Anshe Chizkiyo. In other words, apparently the Chachma of Shlomo himself didn't write down the Chachma, but people took notes. And then Chizkiyahu later, not Chizkiyahu himself, but Anshe Chizkiyahu, because Anshe Chizkiyahu, that they wrote it down. They wrote it down, and they made it part of Kisvei Kodesh. All right, so you see one thing. So you see, and this is an important thing I think is worth mentioning. It has to do with our Muna, and basically Yesod Yadas. Most people think of Kisvei Kodesh in one sense. Kisvei HaKadosh. What's Kisvei HaKadosh? Tanach. Tanach Nevi'im Ksuvim. But you must always remember that the first component, the Torah, is on a totally different level than the Nevi'im Ksuvim. Alright? There's only one absolute objective reality in Kisvei HaKadosh, and that's Chamish Chumshei Torah. That's it. Because the other Kisvei HaKadosh are different. Are they different? For instance, over here, Bikshu Chum Lignos Sefer Kehelas Mipnei Dvarav Sosrim Zezeh, because he contradicts himself. So, first of all, if Shlomo Melech was the Chacham Mikol Adam, and no one doubts that he reached the highest level of Chachma that the species can ever attain. He had the greatest mind and the greatest insight. So what do you mean, Dvar Sosrim Zezeh? Chacham can't write things that are contradictory. Contradictory, it's not a Chacham anymore. Okay? So what does that mean? And what does it mean? How could they be Gonei Sefer Kehelas altogether? I mean, after all, it's Anshei Chizkiyo wrote it, so Ein Bezn Yichon Levatl Diver Bezn Chaver L'Golem Enel Chacham Minyan. So how could they do it? Okay? They're not greater than Anshei Chizkiyo. So how could they do it? And third of all, what does it mean, lignos? It's just plain pshat. What does Geniza mean? Bikshu lignos Sefer Kehelas. Or you should have said, Bikshu lisrof Sefer Kehelas. Or Bikshu levatel Sefer Kehelas. It doesn't say that. It says, Bikshu lignos Sefer Kehelas. Okay. From the third question, I think the answer, you see the answer. In other words, like this. That Kisvei Kodesh become Kisvei Kodesh through the Heskeim of the Nevi'im. They have to make a decision, and they give it a lot of Kisvei. What does Kisvei Kodesh mean? What does it mean, Kisvei Kodesh? I mean, we only have really, as I said before, only Chamish Chumshei Torah. There's only one thing Mipi Agvur, that's Chamish Chumshei Torah. After that, it's not Mipi Agvur anymore. After that, you're working with different kinds of systems. Different kinds. We don't have a concept of Lahavdl, what the Goyim have, of canonization. Don't ever associate canonization with ours. Our system has no concept like that. Goyim have an idea that they can come along and say something is Dvar Hashem, they'll vote on it, and that's what it becomes. That's it. You see? Yada, such an idea is nonsensical. It's childish, it's nonsensical, and it's basically intrinsically ridiculous. Man can't determine Dvar Hashem. So if that's the case, so how do you have Kisvei? What is Kisvei Kodesh? See, Kisvei Kodesh, really, we do have Kisvei Kodesh, but Kisvei Kodesh, we have different dimensions. They're prescribed specifically, different dimensions of reality insofar as Kisvei Kodesh are concerned, and you have to understand what they are and view them in the proper framework. For instance, Dvar Novi Dvar Hashem. Everybody knows a Novi says something, so he's Dvar Hashem. But you know what the Rambam says, that every Novi, no matter how great he is, when he says something, he's only a Muhzak. The only reason we follow him is because the Pasuk says, in Chamish Chumshei Torah, Mipi Agvura Elof Tishmon, you should listen to the Novi. Do I know the person really is a Novi? Even if he passes all the tests, and the tests were very rigid tests, and the tests were of the kind that would be almost impossible to pass unless it were true. Nevertheless, we still don't say that it's 100% true. We don't know. But the halacha is if he passes the tests, so then he's muhzik as a Navi, and we follow him. But we don't believe in him. We believe in Taras Moshe. And Taras Moshe, the Pia Gvura, says you should follow the words of the Navi. So it's a different dimension of reality. It's a different dimension of reality when you're following something that was nitan mipi agvura, like Chamisha Chumshei Torah, or you're following a Novi because he's a mozak, which is the halacha of a mozak. Okay? Kisvei Kodesh, the halacha of Kisvei Kodesh is simply that in the Torah Shebal Peh, in the system of Torah Shebal Peh, really there's only one ksav. There's only one thing that's considered that has the value of a written word, and that is Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But the halacha says that this written word, the halacha of a written word, could be extended, and you can have something else that's a written word, even though it's from a Navi, a person that's a Navi, but under certain conditions, a Navi can write something, and the Navi can write something, and the Balei HaMasora can endow it with a value of Ksav. Kisvei Kodesh. That's what it means. That's all it means. It has a value of Ksav. Okay? Everything else is Tarash Bal Pef. And Navi says a good shot. After all, what's written in the Navim is all ideas. It's explanations of Torah. There's nothing new in the Navi. The Navi never says anything new. He extends what comes from Chumash Kodesh Torah. Principles from Chumash Kodesh Torah. Explains them. Expounds them. Expounds on it. So what is the separate halacha that a navi can create kisvei kodesh? It's a halacha of ksav. Now the question is so Chizkiyahu and Anshei Chizkiyahu endowed Sefer Koheles with the value of ksav, with the value as a din of ksav. Okay, that's very nice. Kisvei Kodesh, a certain halachas of Kisvei Kodesh. You treat it in a certain way, and it's a certain has a certain status. But it's not something which is on the same level of Chamish Chumshei Torah, which is in the Piyag Vur. It's a different thing altogether. Now, what happens later when they want the Bikshu Chachamim lignos Sefer Koheles? How could the Chachamim do that? I mean, after all, a bezin can't be mevatel another bezin if the other bezin was greater. So how could they do it? So what's the answer? The answer is Gniza. The answer is Gniza. What does Gniza mean? Lignos. What does Gniza mean? You have halacha, for instance, Sefer Torah shekos lamin, if they're not bikuris, right? So Sefer Torah, halacha is yisorif. You burn it. Okay? But let's say a Sefer Torah becomes old and worn, and there are many mistakes in the Sefer Torah. So the Rambam says, you have a choice. Oh, you sakein, either you fix it, or else yiganez. What does yiganez mean? What does yiganez mean? Yiganez means you it still retains the halacha of a kisvei kodesh. Still retains the halacha, but it's taken out of circulation. That's what it means. What's gnezim mean? Basically, gnezim means it's taken out of circulation. So there's a certain halacha. We have a halachic status of removing something from circulation. So you see, the Balei HaMasorah, the Chachmei Hador, have a right to say they have no right to remove the Chalos Din Kisvei Kodesh from Sefer Keles, because that was done by Anshei Chizkiyahu. But they have a right to remove it from circulation. That's what it means. Bikshu Chachomim Lignos Sefer Keles. They wanted to remove it from circulation. Why? Because they contradict each other. So what does it mean they contradict each other? We asked before, how could he be a chacham if he contradicts himself? So the answer is, the contradictions are apparent, but they're not real. But they're apparent, you see. Now the question is, you see, in Kisvei Kodesh, in order to have the level of ksav, of the ksav itself is endowed with a certain status, it cannot be something that appears on the surface to be incorrect, okay? Because Kisvei Kodesh is really not just for the great Chacham, but Kisvei Kodesh has a status for everybody, even a plain Jew who is not a great intellect, and therefore, if there's a problem superficially, and the people at the door don't understand it, it looks like it's, or for instance, by they wanted to say for Yecheskel also, they wanted to be gone. They say for Yecheskel. Why? Mitneshe Dvarav Nirin Kisosrin Divrei Torah. Because when he speaks about the Karbonis, it's different than in the Sefer Vayikra. Okay, so Chazal gave an answer. There's a concept of Miluim, and Miluim is Harashah, and Yecheskel was talking about Harashah. Yeah, but the point is, the decision that they had to make was based upon not whether there was a real contradiction, but whether, since the contradiction is apparent, so for the Hamonam, it appears contradictory, so it should be removed from circulation. So the Chachmei Ador have a right to do that. That's what it means. Bikshu Chachamim Lignos. It's an interesting thing. But what it shows you is that Kisvei Kodesh are never to be construed as being on the same level as Chamisha Chom Shittah. It's an extremely important thing. Most people don't think of it that way, but it's important to regulate. Because you see, the Bikshu Lignos, they have a right. They have certain rights over it. It's a different kind of a thing. It's a Ksav Mipi Odom Shehu Murzak Wadnovi, and it's working with Chazakos. It's working with different kinds of criteria. It's not to be understood as a way of Chamisha Chom Shittah. For instance, a Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Megillah that eventually the din of Kisvei Kodesh is going to be removed from everything except Chamisha Chom Shittah and Sefer Esther. That's the only thing that's going to remain. It's going to retain the status of Kisvei Kodesh. Everything else is going to become Lasid Lava will all become Batl. All different Nevi'im will become Batl, means they will not have a status of Kisvei Kodesh anymore. So the status of Kisvei Kodesh is a separate halachic dimension. It's not to be confused with what is true and what is not true. That's not the question over here. There's a special status of Kisvei Kodesh. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a question of true or not true. It's a question of, does it belong in this halachic category? You understand what I mean? That's what I mean by the difference. I mean, Lahavdil, by going canonizing, they work with one thing. Is it true or is it not true? Then you canonize, they vote on it, and they say, we say this is true. You can't vote on whether it's true or not. It's true, not true, not true. The whole idea is absurd. But in Yahadis, it's not a matter of canonizing, it's not a matter of true or not true. The divrei chokhma, that's why by Kehelis, for instance, Gemara says, Kehelis is anim, anim atamas yadayim. Why is it anim atamas yadayim? Because it's not divrei novi, it's chokhma shlomo. So the question is, if it's Chochma, does that have the same status of Kisvei Kodesh? It's a question of the institution. We have a special institution of Kisvei Kodesh. It has nothing to do with whether it's true or not. You understand what I mean? The ideas of the Navi are true 100%, but it doesn't make Kisvei Kodesh. A lot of things are true. There's not Kisvei Kodesh. The whole approach to Torah Shebichsav is all through Torah Shebal Peh. All the ideas, they're true, but it's not Kisvei Kodesh. So I just want you to understand clearly that our your situation with regard to what we call Kisvei Kodesh has nothing to do with what Umos HaOlam think, you understand, in terms of whether something is the Word of God or not the Word of God. It's a different kind of a thing. We only have one absolute Word of God, that's Chamisha Chamisha Torah. Other things operate on different premises. Chazaka, Cheskas, Navi, Chochma, Chochma, Shlomo, Chochma. No one's going to deny that the Shlomo HaMelech, what he wrote was Chochma. You understand what I'm saying? The question is whether this can be considered, it qualifies to be a part of the institution of Kisvei Kodesh. You understand what I'm saying? You have to understand this clearly. It's a different concept than what people think in general, whether something is Kisvei Kodesh. Kisvei Kodesh is a separate institution. It's a halachic question. But, yeah. Esther said, yeah, she said that what that was the whole question. Does her what she wrote, what she writes, is it going to be have the status of Kisvei Kodesh? Like the Gemara, there's only one thing that we have objective and without equivocation, and that's Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's Kamita Shel Torah. What does Gemara say? Esther Tzricha Shir to it Kamita Shel Torah. Amita Shatara means Chamisha Chamisha Torah. That's the only thing which is absolute existence. Other things, it's a different question. The question of whether they fall under the requirements to have the status of Ksav. Ksav has a certain status. Kisvei Kodesh has a certain halachic status. Okay? As I'll say, because Dvarav Sosrim Zeza. There are many contradictions in Sefer Kahalas. Okay. All right. Now, I'll just give an example of one, for instance. For instance, he says that ka, he says, Hoser kas mi libecha. What? So, again, he's one pasuk is kehelas amaf yutches. He says, ki berov chochma rov kos. Because the more intelligent the person is, the more angry he is. Then he says in Kehelas Yud Aleph Yud, Vaser kas mi libecha, remove anger from your heart, Vader ro mibsarecha. Okay? So here it seems to be it's a ro. And on the other hand he says, Ki berov chochma rov kos. There's a contradiction. Okay? Yeah. But the contradictions, as I said before, are intentional. Because through contradiction he hides the idea from a fool. And yet a chacham knows that just a second, there's a contradiction, there must be an idea. Okay? And the reason when the Gemara says, but this I don't want you to misunderstand, when the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't mean that in reality there's no answer. What the Gemara means, the Gemara knew Shlomo was a chacham, is not contradicting himself. The Gemara meant in terms of qualifying for Kisvei Kodesh. Because Kisvei Kodesh have a certain, there's a certain apparent requirement for Kisvei Kodesh. It can't be Kisvei Kodesh if it's apparently inconsistent. Okay? So that was the question. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Well, what's the answer to this question? On the one hand, Rav Chochma, Rav Kos. The more a person is intelligent, the more angry a person is. On the other hand, he says that's the worst thing is to be angry. So what's the answer to this contradiction? This is a rather simple one. The answer is there are two types of Kos. There's a philosophical Kos and there's a personal Kos. What is kas? What is anger? Anger has one, there's one definition for both, but there are two types. Anger means when things are not in line with the way you want them to be. That's what anger is. Person gets angry, person comes home, something is amiss, he gets angry. What does he get angry about? Angry means things are not the way I want them to be. That causes anger. So Kahela says, Shlomo says this, there are two kinds of anger. There's a personal anger, that some of the details of my life are not the way I expect them to be. He says, this is an evil. This is something a person has to remove from himself, because a chacham has to accept reality. And a person that's angry, it means he refuses to accept reality. So that's a fool. That's why he says, ki ha-yaldus va-shachras hava. He says, that's infantile. That's an infantile state, yaldus. That comes from yaldus, and shachras means it means the early years of a person's life. Okay, so he says that's an infantile reaction, And man, the whole purpose of Torah is for man to rise above the infantile and to live according to Chochmah, not according to his emotions. So a person, any time a person gets angry, so it shows that he simply is not on a level to accept reality. This is an evil which destroys the person. He says, what does he add? He means it's something that eats the person up and is harmful to his very flesh. It means to his very psyche and to his health and to his whole essence. Because a human being really, like the Rambam was very, was also big on a holistic approach. If a person isn't psychologically happy, he can't be physically well either. That interferes with his whole being, because man is, everything in man is interrelated, and nothing is, it's not a separate thing. Like the Rambam says, a person can be the strongest individual, and if he hears terrible news, he says, it'll start shaking, it'll be weak, his whole body's affected. So the Rambam, without modern psychoanalysis, was able to see just by a simple experiment that a human being is affected physically and neurologically by his mind, by his psyche. You can't compartmentalize a person. If he's unhealthy psychologically, he's unhealthy physically. It has to affect his physical health as well. Lately, I think a lot of medical practice are saying the same thing. They're saying that people that live longer, they try to find why they live longer. Most of them, they find, is not because of what they do so much in terms of their physical health, but it's a certain attitude, a frame of mind, which permits them to live longer, because it creates a certain healthy environment, and then the body is healthy as well. But that's why it says Vasa raw nibsorecha. It means kas is something that destroys the person. Okay, that's one type of kas. But when he talks about the other kas, there he's talking about a different kind of kas. That's philosophical kas. What's the difference between philosophical kas and this kas? Philosophical kas means when it is not your problem. It's a philosophical problem. There are very few people that have philosophical kas. Most people are so involved in their own personal kas that there's no room really for philosophical kas. Philosophical kas means if a person forgets about himself and he studies human affairs, he just studies the way a human being lives, human life, and he sees things that are not in line with the way they should be. And it's disturbing to him. Not because he himself. It's disturbing because simply his mind is not at ease in understanding how human life works. Okay? That's a philosophical problem. There he says, Yosef Das, Yosef Machol. Which means to say that the more a person has knowledge, the more he sees that there is great difficulty in understanding life. Life does not conform to the way the mind thinks. This is not the way the emotions think, but the way the mind would organize human life. Doesn't conform to it. That's a different kind of kas. That's philosophical kas. Okay? Yeah. Again, you have a stira on this, in the very same pasuk, because it says Yosef Das, Yosef Machov, where he seems to say that das is a bad thing, bad in the sense that it results in a certain kind of attitude which is disturbing. On the other hand, he praises the Chacham many times. He says that there is nothing greater than Chachma. There is nothing greater. Chachma is the greatest thing. There's no comparison. So there he praises the Chacham and everything. So that seems to be again a contradiction. Over there he praises the Chacham. On the other hand, Yosef Das, Yosef Machov. He says, Machov means it makes you sick. So how could you explain that contradiction? There you have a contradiction. Both are on a philosophical plane. But what is the answer to that contradiction? The answer is that he's speaking about two different ways of life. He's speaking about the normal, what we view as the normal lifestyle. And then that's where he says, Yosef Das, Yosef Machov. That if a person wants to live what the normal human life is, what this society thinks life is, What does this society think life is? A person should have a good life. He should have his health. Have enough money. He should have a good family. These are the things that people look for. He wants to leave over children. They should be well. They should be able to continue. This is what a person, this is a normal life. That life, he says, Yosef Das, Yosef Machal. As long as you don't look too much, you can get away with it. But when you start looking a little beyond your small sphere of immediate function, then you're going to find this very disturbing. Very disturbing. Your plans are not going to, don't work out. It doesn't work out the way you want, and basically he shows, he can, and continues to show, this is the main theme of a sefer. I mean, getting to the main theme of a sefer, every single lifestyle is frustrating. That's what he shows. There is not a lifestyle that can escape. And that's the whole sefer, really. That's why I say Kehelis is a depressing book. It's depressing because he simply tears apart logically every lifestyle. But that's Yosef Das, Yosef Machal. But on the other hand, where he says that there's Yisron L'Chochma Min HaSichlos, there he's talking about something else. There he's talking about the abstract world of Chochma, and he's talking about a person that lives according to that kind of life. That's a different kind of a... Over there, the everything is perfect. Everything is wonderful. Okay? But that's a different kind of life. That's not the average lifestyle. That's a person who lives totally within Chochmah, and every move he makes is dictated by Chochmah. There's Yisron L'Chochmah Nasichoski, Yisron Ha'Or Menachoshach. I will get into that a little bit later. But I just want to show you that's the way he wrote a sefer, and that precisely through the contradictions emerge the ideas. From the contradictions, when you think into them, the ideas emerge. Now, what I want to concentrate, there are many things. I mean, I can go. Maybe we'll continue next week more on the lifestyles that he basically, what he shows is, as I said before, he shows every kind of lifestyle leads to frustration. Whether it's a lifestyle, it's an interesting thing. You had in Brachos, well, you had three people. It says Yovol, Yuvol, and Tuvol Kayin. Right? Yesterday's parasha. Yovol was the Avi Yosef Ola Mikneh. Yuvol was Avi Kol Tofes Kino V'Ugov. And Tuvol Kayin was Lotesh Chorosh Nechorosh Yisubazel. Right. Okay, well, what are those? Those are basically three categories. What are the three categories? Yosef Olam Mikneh, really, on the surface, seems to be contemplative man. That's Yosef Olam Mikneh. Olam Mikneh thinks, I mean, you see, the Ovos were Yosef Olam Mikneh, basically. Yosef Olam Mikneh. Okay, contemplative life. The second one, Avi Kol Tofes, King of Ugov, that's the life, the pleasure life. Kino of Ugov. Where's pleasure? Pleasure is in music. Music is the... Without music, there's no simcha, there's no pleasure. That's the emotional life. The pleasure-seeking life. And Lotesh Choresh Nechoshes Ubazel is really industrial man. That's what Choresh Nechoshes Ubazel is. It's industrial man. I mean, that's the man in his... man can devote himself totally towards factories, machinery, bringing technology. That's Lotesh Choresh. Progress. The Torah shows us three different lifestyles. Actually, what Chazal says is an interesting thing. On the first one, Chazal say Yoshvei Olmikna. Chazal say that's Ovdei Varazara, really. Which is not a contradiction to what we're saying, because basically what Chazal is saying is, we say Vesartem Vavadatem Elohim Acherim. So Chazal say, what is it? Vesartem Vavadatem Elohim Acherim? What's Vesartem? It should be Vavadatem Elohim Acherim. So Chazal say no, because Kiven shesoro da midivre Torah miyad vavadatem elohim acherim. It means to say that there is a choice. And Yoshvei Olam Mikneh could be either or. It could either be the person could be involved in Chochmah, but if he doesn't involve himself in Chochmah, then he's going to involve himself. Basically, according to the Chazal, Yoshvei Olam Mikneh is a religious man. It's an interesting thing. They identify Yoshvei Olam Mikneh as a religious man. That's Ovdei Varazar. Okay, but anyways. in Kehelis, in Kehelis, Kehelis really takes apart at length every single lifestyle, and he shows his essential theme is that there are two themes, really. When you think of Kehelis, there are really two themes. One theme is where he shows that life itself is depressing. It's, if a person would think about it, he'd be in trouble, basically. In other words, what Kehelis says is that the only reason man goes on is because he doesn't really think about it. He hopes for the best. And he thinks about getting married, everything's going to be wonderful, and he has illusions and fantasies. And then, of course, he goes ahead with his plans. Things don't work out, he's struck, he moves to the next fantasy. But the reason why he can get along is only because he's not using Das. That's not Das. Das demands that you have to look at the whole picture. If you look at the whole picture, the whole scheme, and you say to yourself, what are my chances of having a good marriage? What are my chances of earning a good living? What are my chances of having good children? What am I? And you think about all the possibilities that there are. He wouldn't even venture to make the move. It wouldn't be logical for him to feel any kind of happiness about it. But that's only one thing he talks about. Like, for instance, that's the practical frustration. He basically has every form of frustration. The practical. Like the person will say, okay, I'll be successful. Let's give him the fact that he will be successful. But what is his success emotionally? There's a striving. A person's always looking for something, not just he has money. So, okay, so what does he do after that? And what he wants is he wants to feel that he built something substantial. Now, he knows that his time is very short on this earth, and everybody dies in a relatively short time. So what's substantial? Substantial is it'll go on to his children. Okay, so he points out, he says, yes, he says, how could a person even think logically that any kind of security about something like that? How does he know? Does he have any guarantee his children are going to be intelligent? They're going to want what he wants. Most of the time, if you looked around at the practical, you'd see that most of the time it doesn't work out that way. Okay, so there's practical frustration. But moreover, what he shows is not just practical frustration, but there's frustration in the very attainment of the thing itself. The thing is never what the person thinks it is. In other words, the person strives for something which he thinks is going to give him tremendous enjoyment, but when he gets there, somehow or other, it doesn't give him that satisfaction. Okay? That's where he says in the beginning where he takes on every kind of possibility. For instance, the person who's interested in the person who's an empire builder. So that's where he says, we built this and he bought them a Pardesa and all these different things. Then he has the person also who's looking for pleasure. He has his Sharm, the Sharos, and all those things, pleasure-seeking things. And then he says, after he did all this, Ufanisi ani b'chol amalei. He turned and he looked at it, and he says, Hinakol hevel resruch. What does it mean, hevel resruch? It means it did not give him the satisfaction that he thought he would attain from it. Didn't give him the satisfaction. Not only, hevel means it's empty, it was just an illusion, and resruch means even more, it means it's a frustration. Resruch is really what the modern term frustration, that's resruch. Frustrating. Then Kehelis shows things that people think are pleasures are really painful. People make a mistake. They think something's a pleasure, in reality it's a pain. And they think something's a pain, and in reality it's more of a pleasure. Because the judgment of a human being is based upon his emotions, and the emotions are wrong. The emotions are just drawn to something. A person's drawn to something like a magnet. And all he could think about is that one moment becomes constant. All his energies are concentrated on that one moment. But life is more than that one moment. So he cannot control his emotional life, and the emotional life is concentrated. He's thinking of he's going to accomplish a certain goal. His emotions are fixed to that goal in that moment. A person waits for a moment of kavod, let's say, in his life. So all as I know people, for instance, they talk about they're having children. Why? Because the moment of marrying them off, unmarried, that is what they're thinking about. So for 25 years, they're just fixated to that one moment, okay? And they can't remove their emotion from that moment. The moment comes, nothing is as they thought it would be. they're fighting with this one and that one, and it comes out they walk out of the chasna alive is it's a marla. Okay? Yeah. That's the pratella. But that's the way it is in reality. But emotionally, that's why people get very upset, because they've been waiting for this for 25 years. You see? But the point is that a human being, cannot control himself, and the emotions become attached to the fixed to those, to certain moments in your life, or moments of fantasy. I'll become the head of the company. That moment he can't get his emotions, his mind off that moment. Moment is only a moment anyways. What happens afterwards? Never things happen afterwards. Okay? That's the, that really is something which every society teaches a philosophy. That's the philosophy that's Hollywood teaches. But that's a Hollywood didn't discover it. It's an old philosophy. I mean, it's a philosophy that they teach children when they're very young. They live happily ever after. That's the same fantasy. The fantasy took place happily ever after. What does that mean? I mean, what happened the next day? How does that work? That's it. But that's an extension of the fantasy. So basically, I mean, the person becomes fixated to certain moments, and that illusion draws them and causes them to expend tremendous energies, and it never is what they thought it was going to be, and essentially it can't be, because it's still only one moment. You understand? Okay. So Kehelis really expands on this idea. He shows the idea through different, various lifestyles. The lifestyle of the person that's looking for pleasure, the lifestyle of the empire builder. I mean, the greatest, if you ever just read through history, the history of tyrants, despots, empire builders, you see, you don't have to read too far to see how they always end up in extreme, extreme states of frustration. When Lenin found out that he was going to die because of a wound, I mean, he couldn't believe it. He said he's on top of the world and he's going to be nothing in a few weeks. I mean, how's it possible? And he couldn't accept the idea. That's a called Hevelerus Roch. I mean, that's Kehelis. That's Kehelis, basically. But that's why he says Yosef Das, Yosef Machel, because he says man, and even the greatest men, the people that are the most famous people in the society are really the ones that are most caught in this illusion. So even though people look up to them and they think they're important people, they're really the most foolish people, because they're caught by the illusion more than anybody else, for a simple reason that the opportunity for the illusion presents itself to them and not to others. So people think they're great because they're in a special position where they're spotlighted, so to speak. But the spotlight is really not an indication of any kind of superior position, but it's an indication of a condition where the illusion, they have the opportunity for the illusion, so they run after the illusion more than anybody else would, because they're in that situation. The average person can't do that. So they're caught up. And because of that, they are the greatest victims. I mean, that's basically what Kehelis explains. That's one aspect of Kehelis, where it tears apart the average lifestyle. And he shows that if a person really think into it, he'd be devastated, totally devastated. Leiv chachamim beveis evil, he says. Leiv chsil beveis mishter. A fool is in the base mishter. Why? Because the base mishter is a momentary thing. The fool just can see, all he can see is the party right now. Party's on, he's happy. He cannot see the next day. The tragedy of the next day. So, but Leiv Chachom Beveis Evil. Leiv Chachom Beveis Evil. That's what the one philosopher said, that after every pleasure, either you're depressed or you have another desire. Which means to say that basically, I mean, that's callous. Which means to say that basically it's hopeless. In other words, if a man would look at life, he'd say it's hopeless. He's being driven by an illusion, and if he doesn't think about it, he can go on because he fools himself. If he stops fooling himself, he can't go on. So, I mean, he's caught. I mean, they obey. He can't function. Yeah. Then he speaks about, of course, the fact that a person is going to die. I mean, that's the biggest That's the biggest breaker of any kind of fantasy, because every fantasy that a person has to partake of timelessness. If it's not timeless, it doesn't have what you're looking for. It's not what you're looking for. That's why it has to be timeless, and it has to be divine also. That's why you'll see people that aren't even religious people, but they'll say in a romantic affair, we were meant for each other. It was meant. It was meant for each other. It was meant. Who's doing the meaning? Who's buying the meaning? Even people are not religious. It was meant. It was meant. There's some divine kind of thing over here that put us in this situation. And the love will be eternal. You see, because man looks for timelessness and he looks for something divine, something important. That's the Yisrael. That's what Kehelis identifies as Yisrael. But Kehelis goes through each scenario, and he shows me there's no such thing as Yisrael. It's an illusion in the person's mind. It's an illusion in his mind. Then he starts to approach. You see, the illusions of the of grandeur, so to speak, fame and wealth, and those things are relatively easy. Or having children going on, carrying on. Those illusions are pretty easy to break down. Easy to break down. Then he comes to the illusion of the chacham as well. So the illusion of the chacham as well. By a chacham, you say, one second, that's already something real. That's already something real. But even over there, he says, the illusion is manifest the moment you realize that a person only exists for a very short time. Not only does he exist for a short time, but his fate is exactly the same as the fate of the fool, and not only the fate of the fool, but the fate of the animal. I mean, how could a person... He's mentioned this comes up several times. It's one thing to say like a fool, it's bad. But a behemoth, I mean, basically, there's nothing superior in being a human being. Once there's no superiority in being a human being, I mean, then you can't say a person was a great chacham. Very great. That we'll say that is greatness. Chachma, okay? What could be better than a chachma? A higher level person is not impressed with wealth or with physical. Show you that, but that chacham, I mean, as great as he was, is gone. That's it. He's gone. That was the ace of a Russia was became a Russia as the day Avram Avinu died. I mean, that's it. Great Avram Avinu, but he's dead. That's it. That's what he says. That's what Kehelis says. That the Kehelis says Tov Kelav Achai Me'ari Ames. I mean, the bottom line is he was a great lion, but he's dead now, and this dog is existing. And this dog is superior. So Kehelis, he shows every kind of lifestyle. If you're looking for a Yisroel, for something, and a person has to look for something. A person can't function. It's wrong for, that itself is an illusion, if a person thinks he could function in reality. Because everything that's done, if you look at New York City, you look at the skyline of New York City, that skyline came into existence because of human fantasy. Many, many people who had fantasies, and they're gone. And as Shlomo Melech says, that avosom and sinosom kvar avodo, that's it. They're gone. Everything was so important in their life, in their time, everything's so important. Nothing. Reality just looks at it as if it didn't exist. And most of them, I don't care what level, that's it. That's basically what he does. That's one theme. There's two themes in the Sefer. That is one theme. One theme is a careful analysis. I'm not going into detail every single thing, but you look through, you'll see it's amazing how many different lifestyles he has there. He has a lot. You have to look very carefully. But the second thing, and this is the thing that I wanted to really discuss, and I'll take the problem up from another side. The question is, there's a very strange pasuk here, and this is the pasuk that Chazal talk about. Chazal say, why weren't they going to Sefer Kehelas? Essentially, why? Because of Sof Dovra Kol Nishma. Okay? Because of Sof Dovra Kol Nishma, Es Elokim Yerov, Es Mitzvosov Shemar Kizeh Kol Adam. Alright? He says, that's what Chazal say. Chazal say that, Mibnei Ma Lo Gonzu, Mibnei Shetchiloso Divrei Torah, Vesofa Divrei Torah. Chiloso Divrei Torah, Dechsiv Ma Yisron Lo Adam, Bechol Amolo, Sheyam Al Tachas HaShemesh. Vamri Dibei Reb Yanai Tachas HaShemesh, Udein Lo. Kodem Shemesh Yesh Lo. Alright, this is not just, people look at Chazal, they just think it's a drasha, a little drasha. That's people don't have any insight into the words of Chazal. What Chazal is saying is an exact, without a doubt, exact pshat in the pasuk. It's not a drasha. It's the exact pshat in the pasuk. Where Kehelas says, "My Yisron la'odam b'cholam molo." What does it mean? What does it say? She yamol tachas Hashemesh. What does that mean? Tachas Hashemesh. Chazal says, "Tachas Hashemesh ein Yisron." Avol la'mayla me'Hashemesh yesh Yisron. What's la'mayla me'Hashemesh? Ma'la Hashemesh means Torah or Kodem Hashemesh, that which existed before the Shemesh. But the but lamata me'Hashemesh means the world, the physical world. What they're saying is, when Shlomo HaMelech, as I said before, when Shlomo HaMelech is describing the frustrations of human life, he's talking about the normal life. The normal, what we call a normal life. That's what it means. My Yisron la'odom b'chol ha'malo, she'yam al tachas ha'shemesh. He means the normal life that exists here under the sun. So Chazal saying, that's all Chazal was saying basically. They're saying he's not talking at that point about the life of the Chacham. Because later you see, he says, the chamika chacham yidei pesha davar. And he says, chachma sadam yidei tar ponav. He says, and he was betzela hachachma betzela kosev hachachma techaye ba'aleho. Okay? It gives a person life. He's talking about a different kind. Over here, he's talking about the regular life. It's not a drasha. People think it's just a drasha. Chazal are being, interpretation. That's the pshat in the pasuk. That's the pshat in the parrot. But so they say he began with that idea, which is a true idea. I mean, a good idea. I mean, and then he concludes with what? He concludes with Sof Dovra Kol Nishma Es Elokim Yerov Es Mitzvosov Shemar Kizeh Kol Adam. Okay, so the way everybody learns the Gemara, the common understanding of Gemara is that really Kehelas was a problem. It was a problem. I'm just saying a shallow way that people learn a Chazal. Kehelas is a big problem because he raised some good questions there. But in the beginning he said, keep the Torah. In the end he said, keep the Torah. So we keep it. I mean, that's the way most people understand this Chazal. That's not what Chazal is saying. Because that's silly. I mean, how could you say he began and he ended fine, but what about the middle? People are going to read this. I mean, how do you allow such a thing if you think it's problematic? Okay? No, what Chazal are talking about is, as I explained before, that there's a certain, they were discussing the question of whether it qualifies for public Kisvei Kodesh. Kisvei Kodesh means it has a status of Ksav, and also it's publicly circulated. That's why they were discussing this idea, and it's in their hands to determine. If they think it's harmful, they have a right to take it out of circulation. That's halacha of the Balei Masora, because as I said, it's not Chamish Chamshat Torah, that's Mipi Agvura, that's it. Okay, it's not absolute. It has a certain Kisvei Kodesh have certain stipulations, a certain criteria. Okay. But let's understand what Chazal is saying here. Let's understand the very idea. Sof Dovra Kol Nishma. What does it mean? Sof Dovra Kol Nishma means, okay, we discussed all the philosophy and all the ideas, and the main thing is Es Elokim Yirah Ves Mitzvosov Shmar Kizeh Kol Adam. By the way, that's not the only statement in Kehelas that has what most people would call religious value. Many times we mention Shmor Asrag L'cha Melechaz Bezel Lekim, and a lot of, and all these different things. Lekim B'Shamayim V'Atol. It's not the only place. He weaves in and out of it. Okay? Yeah. Okay. But what I want to understand is, what does it mean? Let's understand. Sof davar kol nishma. So akim yirav es mitzvos of shmor ki zeh kol adam. So what is he saying to you, basically? He's saying, yeah, philosophy this way, philosophy that way, but the bottom line is, fear God and keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Alright. So, to me, this presents a big problem. If you're going to tell me that that is really true, that all I have to do is a very simple solution to all my profound philosophical questions, and that is, keep the Torah, fear God and keep the Torah. If that's the case, what do you need a sefer for? What's the sefer? What do you need a sefer for? What's the purpose of the sefer? Okay. And if you're going to tell me that there is some kind of philosophical purpose, there is a philosophical, so how does this help me? How does this help me then? Okay, no matter, if you're going to tell me that philosophical speculation is a good thing, so then what if this doesn't help me, right? If you're going to tell me that you don't need philosophical speculation, so what do you need El Sefer for? So what is the self dover kol nishma? In the yeshivish world, they always say that's always a quote, you know. So if davar kol nishma, that's it. You don't need philosophy, and it's all very simple. If it's very simple, so then what do you need El Sefer for? Okay. Yeah, bikshu ligna sefer kelis. You'd be if they'd ask me, I'd say, okay, if that's the case, so take everything, put it away, and leave one pasuk. That's it. First pasuk and last pasuk. That's it. That would seem to be the logic. But no, you see, Chazal didn't say that. Chazal didn't say that. The whole sefer was retained. But what I want to say is like this. I mean, of course, I just want to preface it with the fact that when we study a sefer like Keheles, which is the Chochma of Shlomo Melech, I mean, you have to realize that things that we say, we have to look at them as advances in understanding the sefer, and shouldn't be considered as fixed. Okay, you understand? I mean, it's something which if we see some insight, you have to realize that we made progress, but at the same time, the framework of the idea could change. It could be we want Yored L'Sof Daito, as Chazal say. Okay? But I want to propose something over here. First of all, I think the idea, the question of philosophical speculation is really the answer. What do we need to philosophical speculation? You see, the world, the religious world, Goyim, and even among simple people, they say you don't need any speculation. Once you know Torah is Minash HaMayim, that's it. So what are you speculating for? Does Keheles ever say he doubts whether God exists? Never. I mean, it's implicit in all his writings, the existence of God, and the, and the Torah, he never questions the Torah. I mean, that's not a question. So once he accepts that, so what does he need philosophy for? What do you need it for? Okay? You know what to do, keep the mitzvahs, and that's it. There's two answers to that. But one answer, first answer is simply that Yahadus demands understanding. Without Chochmah, who are the heads of Klal Yisrael? Not religious people, Chachmah Yisrael. A person can cloak himself in all kinds of religiosity. He could be Yeshiv B'tainis and do all these things. We were never impressed with such people. Who were we impressed with? A Talmid Chacham. Chachmah is something that we respect. A person knows Torah, has the knowledge, that's the person's respect. Not a person that fancies himself as a great tzaddik. Okay? So Yahadus always endorsed Chachmah, demanded Chachmah. Okay. So therefore, a simplistic answer is impossible, because the simplistic answer denies Chachmah. You see, like the Geisha religions. I mean, this is it. The old-time religion. Okay, but that is a system which is intrinsically devoid of Chochmah. And with us, the religious person was not at the center, but the Chacham. Okay, but if you follow further, say, okay, very good, you're right. That's when it, like Rashi says, Shmor v'shamata. What does it mean? Shemar kol chukim ela. So Rashi says because if you don't understand the chukim, your performance of the chukim is really insignificant. It's insignificant. That's not the Torah wasn't given to do actions. The Torah was given to understand. So you'll tell me, okay, fine. So I understand that a chacham be Yisrael. That's what the Ram says. What do you do when you tell a ger who wants a geyer? What do you tell him? You tell him that who is the perfected person? The only person that we respect is a person who is a chacham and does the mitzvahs and understands them. Okay, fine. But I would say that's nice. You have to understand the mitzvahs. You have to understand what you're doing. And you have to understand Torah Misinai, and you have to understand all halachos. But the question is, what about philosophical speculation? What do you do that for? What do I have to worry about the problems of Kehelas? What are some of the problems? And this is the second aspect of Kehelas that I wanted to mention to you. The first aspect is what I described before, the various lifestyles and how they're all frustrating. That's a general philosophical work. But then he starts talking about something else, theological problems. Like, for instance, he talks about justice. He says, He says, by the way, drawn to it. He has even the lifestyle, like, after he shows that, people put in a lot of energy. To be a social being is very expensive. It costs a lot. You have to put out a lot. And not just a social being inside, but a family. A family is a smaller social unit, right? In the family unit, you're putting out a lot. So that's why some people decide. I just heard there was a millionaire in Seattle that left $200 million for educational, Jewish education. It's a wonderful thing. But he was in his 90s and he lived alone all his life. See, what kind of a person was that? An intelligent person. He put together a master fortune. He couldn't be a fool. But this person decided that the expenditure of energy and compromises and pain that you have from marriage and children is not worth it, really. Okay, and the truth of the matter is, no one can prove him wrong. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to sit down, you could amass serious arguments to show that he was right. He was right. So if that's the case, so what should a person do? So maybe the intelligent thing for a person is to do like he did, to live alone. Live alone. You don't need anybody. What do you need? You need money? That's the only thing you need. You have money, you can do anything you want in the society. Just don't break the law. So basically that was his lifestyle. Yeah, he has it here too. Kehelas has it also. That's Kehelas Dalid Pasuk Ches. It's amazing how many different things he has. Yesh Echad V'ein Sheini Gam Bein V'och Ein Lo. There is a person who is singular and he doesn't have anybody else. He doesn't have a son. He gives a scenario. He doesn't have a brother, whether it's an actual brother, a friend like a brother. V'ein Ketz L'chol HaMolo, and he works a massive fortune. That's this fellow's ill. Gam Eino Lo Sis Ba'osher. He says, "Ulemi ani omelu machaser es nafshi mitova gamze hevel v'nin ro." He says he can't escape. Why? Because by nature, if a person were all alone, the amassing of the fortune would have zero value. You see, zero value. That's why I often say that if, for instance, a person would envision a plague in a very lucrative area. We have the most fancy homes and everybody's gone. No one's here. Okay, a bomb fell and all that's left is just empty houses and cars. He has beautiful mansions, a little house, or this house. I guarantee it wouldn't make a bit of difference where that person would sleep. Okay, or where he'd set up his residence. Wouldn't mean a thing. He wouldn't even care. Because the only reason a person cares is because other people are there. Without other people, what's the difference? He sleeps in a little house. The whole idea would be absurd. The individualist, the real individualist, like this fellow, there's no sipuk hanefesh. There's no reason for it. And as much as the person, of course, there are people that live these lifestyles, but then it's another illusion. Whenever he says hevel, he means it's an illusion. You see, gamze hevel, but here he adds v'inyan roho. Okay? Inyan Ro means it's bad because a person that doesn't live in society loses other benefits in terms of his own perfection, other things. But it's a hevel, it's another illusion. There are various illusions that people choose, you see. Okay? But he has basically all of them. Now, it's like this. He says, what I wanted to mention was the, excuse me a second. The one where it talks about Chochmah, you see. He goes through the, as I said before, the different ones, and then he comes to Chochmah, where he says that, Kiyesha, in the beginning, in Beis Chafalaf, Kiyesh Odom She'amolo B'Chochmah V'Das V'Chishron. Okay, a person works and lives. Here he's speaking about using Chochmah for living an intelligent life, oh, in many ways, in terms of his finances, in terms of his personal life, everything. He says, but what happens? He passes away, and who finally gets it? A person that's a total fool and doesn't even know what to do with it. I mean, you see, it happens all the time. If you see the difference, as I said before, a chacham is a person who can't tolerate something which doesn't make any sense. Not because of himself, but because simply it doesn't work out. Average person is on that level. Average person only cares about himself. So he's not bothered with these problems. But a person who's a chacham looks around and says, just a second, look what happened over there. First of all, that could happen to him too. It's just another illusion that the person thinks that somehow is protected from all these things. Okay? That's another illusion. But even if it doesn't happen to him, if you try to make sense out of life, it doesn't make any sense. It's disturbing if you're interested in making sense out of life. Basically, that's what a chacham is concerned about. Not a personal concern. He wants to see something make sense in human existence. That's what Kehelis is trying to do. It doesn't make sense. A man worked and lived with chachma, and who inherits it? Who gets it? Whether it's through inheritance or through some other manner, somebody else is a total fool and doesn't even appreciate, no appreciation, doesn't even recognize, and just uses it in a way which is completely worthless. So everything that a person did and worked meticulously for has a worthless. The destiny of it is simply worthlessness. Okay, that's what he's saying. Now he says like this. He says, just a second. He says, you see, this is an important transition over here where he says like this. He says, he mentions over here. Vod Raisi Tachas HaShamesh, he says, Mekom HaMishpat Shomo HaResha, or Mekom HaTzedek Shomo HaResha. So a person will say, what about the area of justice? After all, man has something inside of himself which you can't explain. It's something which we don't even know how we have it, but there's a concept of justice. I mean, we don't know. There are mathematical ideas that we have. We have no idea where they come from. And it's something like a straight line. A straight line is a concept that a person has in his mind. There's no such thing in reality. But everything, when a person sees, like, he puts it into that framework. There are ideas that are in the neshama, nishmas adam, that are ingrained. We don't know where they came from, basically. One of them is justice. But a person has a sense of justice. What is it? Where does it come from? Is it logical? Can you explain it? We don't know. I mean, but we have that idea, justice. Everybody has a sense of justice. So he says, but, so you'll say, okay, man insofar as justice is concerned, there at least, in that area, there's a certain reality. But he says, no, but Mekoma Mishpat Shoma Russia. I mean, the whole world has been able to see in the past year. I mean, Mekoma Mishpat Shoma Russia. He says, Mekoma Tzedek Shoma Russia. What does he mean? He means to say, even that in man is simply appearance. It's an illusion. Why is it an illusion? Because man isn't really concerned about Mishpat. He's concerned about the appearance of Mishpat. So therefore, the place which is touted to be the place of justice is really, if you really start looking in, you see that the greatest corruption takes place right there. Why? Because since the whole purpose of the institution is not because of not because of human society's true love for Mishpat, but for the love of the illusion and the appearance of Mishpat, so naturally that's going to be the greatest corruption. Okay? So then he said, I guess, Amati Balibi, Esatzadik Vesa Rasha Yishpot Elokim. Then what does he do? He moves back. And he gives a religious philosophy. That's a religious philosophy. Amati ni Balibi, Esatzadik Vesa Rasha Yishpot Elokim. So what does the person say? Okay, he got away. He got away from man's judgment, but God will take care of him. God will take care of him. Okay? That's most people at least. See, people don't realize. People are really philosophers. They're just bad philosophers. They're looking for it. They're looking for something, and they grab onto this. Most people grab onto this. This gives them a certain sense of security. God judges everybody. He thinks he got away with it. He's not going to get away with it. God is going to punish him. Okay? That's the statement he makes here. Amati ani belibi es atzadik v'sa rosha yishpat alakim ki es l'chol chefetz v'skol amasasham. What does it mean? He means to say there's a time for everything. In other words, definitely God judges people. There's no question about that, and nobody gets away, and a person that deserves reward, God will give him reward. It doesn't look like that. It looks like this Russia just got out and he's living like a king. And then people that are honest people are suffering and working hard, and he's having a good time. He's on the golf course. He's running around. He's a ratzeach. He's a murderer. So what kind of justice? God will take care of him. Ace. We don't know the time, but his time will come. Okay, that's a consolation that people think about. Then, just a second. I see you think about that. Amati ani belibi. He says. Now he gives a question over here, but you have to look into it a little deeper to see how he refutes it. The average person will say, "Yeah, bashman, it's not true." Okay. Yeah, most people say, "Not religious people say, not true. You can get away with anything." Okay. That's not what Shlomo. Shlomo doesn't ask a question like that. His question is a little deeper. Okay. This question a little deeper, because you could argue the other way. What do you mean he'll get away with it? Who says he'll get away with it? Maybe it's not true. He won't get away with it. Just because people always think that if they argue something which is not religious, that they're being realistic. That's not true either. Because who says that that argument is any better than the religious argument, which is that you can't show me I'm wrong. I could certainly, if you want me to show you a case, I'll show you a case when it happens to people like that. You'll show a case, didn't I? Whatever. Who says your argument's right, my argument's wrong? So you say, I don't know at least. Okay. But he asks a different question. Amati ani belibi, and that's the next pasuk. Al divras b'nei ha'odom levorom ha'lokim viliros shehem behemo ha'molahem. It's a hot pasuk to interpret. I'll tell you what it means. He means like this. It means that most people's lives, shehem behemo ha'molahem, most people choose to live as animals. That's what they choose. They live like most people, 99% of people live like animals. What does it mean to live like animals? It means like this. They're motivated either by physical pleasures or by psychological pleasures. That's most people. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing a depiction, in literature of, where they depict the people finding success and happiness as involving a serious commitment to study scientific works. I mean, you just don't see that. Okay? So most people really choose to live like animals. They're looking for physical pleasures, psychological pleasures, one of the two. They're not looking for chachma. So he says, Shehem behem or hem olem. They look at themselves as animals. Which means most people in their lives would admit. If you ask them if they're an animal, they're going to say no. But if you sit down and explain it to them and say, look, this is what an animal. An animal has the physical. An animal has the instinctual. A dog can experience love. Like the Rambam says, animals have the same emotions that we have. I mean, that's why, I mean, people identify with animals. So basically, it's like an animal. If you see, you take a look and you see in nature, a mother animal goes out of its way, extreme care for its young. That's the same thing. That person, different, better place, but it's still the same idea. Okay, so he says, when I took a look at human life, I saw that people really, in their own minds and their own goals, are no different than maybe a little, quantitatively, a better animal. But it's the same thing, basically. So his question is, how could I say that God judges each person, this one and that one? That would be like saying, that would be like saying God judges animals. Because basically they're the same thing. You see, I mean, you have to be a philosopher to ask this question. You have to be a chacham to ask this question. The average person's not going to ask a question, but the average person thinks he's, for some reason, he thinks he's superior. He never really looks into his life, whether he is pursuing chacham or not. I mean, how much of his energy is really, is guided towards seeing what ultimate reality is, he doesn't even think about that. But Shlomo HaMelech, from his position, that's why he writes it this way, a little bit hidden, but you have to look into it a little bit, but that's basically what he's saying. So his argument against the other argument that God will judge everyone, the tzaddik and the rasha, he says, but these people are animals, basically. Are you telling me that God judges animals too? If one animal takes something away from another animal, God's going to apply justice? He says, this is a problem, yes.
Well, whether they were bochur to be animals
or whether they never exercised their bechira to be human beings, which would probably be more correct. I mean, I don't think a person chooses to be an animal. It's simply he's raised on the pleasure principle, and that's it. I mean, it never really goes beyond that. So it wasn't really an exercise of bechira in most cases. In most cases, it was a bechira. So on the whole, he says this idea doesn't make any sense. You understand? That kind of, again, for something like that to disturb a person, you have to be a chacham. Average person doesn't care about it. What do I care? The other guy, just as long as my life is fine, that's b'shvili niver olam, and that's it. Okay, but a real philosopher is disturbing. So it means all of human life is really very hard to understand. I mean, this one gets away, this one doesn't get away. To say that God is going to judge the tzaddik and the rasha is very difficult. It's very difficult. Okay, an idea is difficult. And then he continues. Listen to the next pasuk. Ki mikre v'nei ha'odom u'mikre ha'behema u'mikre echod lohem. They're all the same. Ki mozeh ki mozeh v'ruach echod lakol. He means when you really look at... By the way, you know who said this also? He said the exact same thing in Shlomo Melech. Aristotle said the same thing. He said, man on the whole chooses to live like an animal. That's basically what he says. U'mosar odom min ha'behema ha'oyin, famous pasuk. That's basically what he's saying. Okay. Then he goes like this: Hakol holech u'makom achor, hakol hoyim and offer, hakol shevel offer. Which means to say, basically, that this is a pressing idea. The pressing idea. Mi yodeya ruach b'nei. Now the next pasuk: Mi yodeya ruach b'nei ha'adam ha'olehi l'mala. Who knows the ruach b'nei ha'adam that goes up there? For ruach ha'behema, you read it in l'matalar. So he's talking about hasharas and nefesh. Okay. But you see, he doesn't mean, as the upper course think he means, that he's questioning Hashar Sanefesh. He's not. If you look at the diktok, he doesn't say, Mi yodeya haruach b'nei odom olehi l'mola, v'ruach ha'behemi re'i. He doesn't say. He says, Mi yodeya ruach b'nei ha'odom ruach b'nei odom ha'olehi l'mola. Who knows the ruach b'nei odom? It's a hey ayadiyah, not hey ashela. Hey ashela happened before. Mi yodeya haruach b'nei adam olei l'mal, then it'll be a hayashela. But it's not a hayashela, it's a hayayadiyah. So what is he saying, basically? He's saying there's no doubt about it that there is hasharas hanefesh. You see? But what he's saying is, it's very nice. See, there's where he shows you another illusion. The illusion that people have about hasharas hanefesh is that at least there, finally, I'm going to get what I want. But the truth of the matter is, what is there is not really what they want. You understand what I mean? If a person were honest with himself, and they would see what they're really looking for in this life, and then they would see, oh, I'm hungry, they really, really would not be interested. But the only thing is that they fool themselves, and they project onto Olam Haba the ideas of their own satisfaction. You see, basically, that's what he said. That is, in that pasuk, he discloses another illusion. He's not denying Hasharas HaNefesh. There is Hashem, but it's all very nice, but it's not nice if you're going to try to fit in with my Yisrael la'odom b'chol ha'molo she'yamol tachas ha'shemesh. Tachas ha'shemesh is not going to work, okay? Because that's not what the normal average person is looking for. That's basically what he's saying over there. Okay. See? So what he's showing is like this. He's showing another illusion. the illusion, the fantasy of Olam Haba, basically. But I say the fantasy of Olam Haba, what I mean is not that Olam Haba fantasy, like the Apocorsum thing, but the Olam Haba that is a reality is not the way people think the people really think, really in their own minds and hearts want and desire. Okay, but he disclosed it very cautiously again by putting the hay in a different place. You understand, a different place. So it's not so simple. I mean, the average person just won't know what he means. But there's where you see he's disclosing another fantasy. Okay. But the other, yes. By the way, I mentioned before that he shows, one of the things he shows also is that what people think is pleasure is not, and the converse as well. That's in the Pasuk in Kehelas HaYirah. Mesuka shnasa oved im ma'atvim harbe yochal. Vasova lo asher enenu maniach lo lishan. Everybody has the illusion that if they were wealthy, they'd be extremely happy. And he says, but that's not true. Because you see that the one that could sleep well, what is more important to a person than a good night's sleep? And basically, I mean, I know an individual is an extremely wealthy person, but they can't sleep at night. Apparently, things disturb them. I mean, it's not diagnosing that specific case. But basically, what he's saying over here is, he's saying, Vasova lo'oshir einenu maniach lo'lishon, Rashi, Vasova nechosim shaloshir, Baal Park and Matios, Harbe, einenu lo'lishon kol halayla mahara bahem. What does it mean? It means to say, the fantasies and the illusion of money-making give a person much more pain than pleasure. Much more. In reality, if you follow the lifestyle of that person, you'd see that at the end of his life, you add up the moments, he suffered more than the plain Oved, he worked hard, he wasn't involved in the fantasies, he ate, he enjoyed his food, and he slept like a rock. So basically, this guy had a good night's sleep and felt good, and the other guy with the fantasies and the illusions of money-making had a disturbed existence. There he shows you that a person runs towards something which he thinks is a pleasure, and he thinks a pleasure, he never really took an account to see what it is, and he lives a life of torment, and he thinks he's living a better life, and everybody else does too. That's probably 90% why he thinks that way. But anyways, so getting back to this, he is concerned also about about justice. Justice in the world, and he takes up the theme again. You see, it's interesting the way he weaves it in. But he takes up the theme when he talks about By the way, in Motzani Mami Moves Esaisha, Ashahi Metzodim Vacharomim Libo Asur Yedeha Tov Lufnei Olakim Yimolik Nimenov Achote Yilochibah. Again, people have to understand. In the Sefer itself, it says that. That these are mesholim. This is not a person that hates women. I mean, you understand? It's a mashal. What is the mashal? This is an important one. It's a very important one. What are you talking about over there? Motzani mami moves esaisha. What does he mean? Ibn Ezra explains. He means the most powerful emotion, the emotion of love, is where man finds his or her greatest devastation. Okay, that by the way, that is, he emphasizes that possibly because the emotion is so powerful. That's what this society basically. That's the whole religion of this society. What's the religion of this society? Romantic love is basically. So this emotion, he says, is the most powerful and can be the most devastating emotion because it captivates the whole personality. And even though the person's intellect will tell him it's a foolish thing. He's metzodin v'charomim asurim yodeo. He is tied, and he simply can't escape. He says, what's his lashon over there? His lashon is tov l'fnei elokim yimolik nimenov achote yilochet bo. Okay. I believe the reason why he emphasizes that pasuk has to do it has to do with the idea. It's really a solution to something that he's explaining, in my opinion, in a cryptic way. In other words, what he's explaining is like this. Why is it really? Why is it really that a person has such a frustrating existence? The answer is very simple. I'll tell you what, why is it so? Why is a person thinks he's going to be happy and he's not? Why? The reason is because what the person is looking for and what the person has found is not the same thing. What the person is looking for is something other than what they actually discover in life, and that's tied very much to the emotions, to the romantic emotions. It's tied very much to those emotions. And the person, I mean, you'll hear people who even say, well, he has a romantic view about that. It's an important statement. It means that what people look for are based on certain underlying psychological libidinous desires that they're going for, but they don't realize what it is. They see something else, and they think that's what it is, and but the trail, they're on the trail very powerfully because of this strong emotion. When they finally receive what they were looking for, they're disappointed because it's really not what they were looking for. They're looking for something else that's tied to the powerful emotions that are involved in the love emotion. Love emotion is a very big thing in the Vedas, very big thing. I mean, it constantly recurs. The emotion of love is used as a muscle for Torah. It's the most powerful emotion. And that emotion is really that sets up something in a person's mind he's unaware of, and he goes towards something else because he's making a mistake. He thinks that he thinks he's going for A, but he thinks B is A. When he gets to B, it's not satisfying. He doesn't know why, and then he goes on again. You see, and that pasuk really is the secret to the riddle of why a person is really so unhappy. Okay, that's why he emphasizes that pasuk. He says, "Tov v'nei l'kimi mo'ed me'ah." That pasuk is in Keles Zayin Chafav. Now, what I wanted to mention was the pasuk. You see, on the one hand, okay. Let me get there. Where he says, "Yesh hevel." There it is. Ches yudalit. Yesh hevel asher nasa al ha'aretz. Asher yesh sadikim asher magi aleihem k'maseh harashayim. V'yesh rishoyim shemagi aleihem k'masei atzadikim. Amarti shegam ze hovel. Okay? What he means over here is the same problem with justice. There he says, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me, see, what Kehelis was trying to find was some kind of law in human life that makes sense. Any law. Show me something that makes sense. In other words, just like you have in nature, you have laws, various laws governing the motion of bodies and atoms and subatomic world. But there are laws, certain kind of laws that govern these areas. Where is the laws in human life? What is it? Is it the religious emotion? He discusses that too. Al titzadik harbe, lama tishomem. He says that emotion leads to shmala. That mostly leads to Shema. Chazal were very much that a person will suddenly become. I mean, you see a lot of times in yeshivas, you see, especially a young person will suddenly throw themselves into a cloak of religiosity. So they become very firm in everything, and a doctor, you know, pachuta sair and everything. That's good. I mean, a doctor, but it depends. It's like this is like a neurotic kind of attachment to mitzvah. They become extremely religious. This kind of philosophy, that's alpi tzadik harbe, lama tishomem. Why? That leads to shmama. Because a person that does that is denying another side of their nature. Eventually, the other side catches up, and you can't make it. That's like an attempt to escape. Go ahead and try that. Monks and things. It's an attempt to escape into a religious fantasy world. That's alpi tzadik harbe. It's another lifestyle that he takes. It's amazing how many things he takes up with. Look carefully. But over here, what he's talking about is not that. He's talking about like this. He says, but you're going to tell, what is gover in human life? Is it chachma that's gover? So what about the person, that's what I said before, the person that lives the Chachma, the Das, or the Kishron, and then he dies and leaves over to a son that's a total fool, and they just have a big party with everything he did, and just waste it, and it's destroyed. So Chachma is not Gover. Is religiosity or no? That's not Gover either. What is Mishpat? Is justice? Is there a law of justice that we can observe when we study humanity? No. You see, the Makom HaTzedek Shama Russia. The Russia, the evil man, the murderer goes free. And so what will you tell me? You'll tell me, okay, so you'll tell me, this doesn't bother me. But let's forget about society. Let's just look at a smaller sphere. Let's look at real tzaddikim. Let's take a look at their lives. Will we take a look, if we analyze the lives of tzaddikim, will we find a law over there? Will we find a law that shows us that the tzaddik always has the good life? If that's the case, he's saying, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied with that. Forget the rest of the world. Mishpat, this, how can there be millions, billions of people? Where's Mishpat? I don't know. Let's forget about that. But what about, let's take a look at the life of one tzaddik. How many tzaddikim you had since the time of Yisrael? Very few. Let's look at their lives. He says, no, we have a problem there too. He says, yesh hevel ashenasa lartz, asher yesh tzaddikim asher magi alein kamasei rishonim. I want to emphasize this thing. This is the kasha everybody has, tzaddik v'rola moshe. Ben is kasha, the question everybody has. He says, yesh tzaddikim asher magi alein kamasei rishonim, which means to say, it's rare. On the whole, and this I emphasize again and again, on the whole, you cannot compare the life of a tzaddik to the life of Russia. One day in the life of the Vilnagoyan was gave him more satisfaction than the life of all the Rishonim since Bria Salom. There's just no comparison. Because the life of the Russia is frustration, and the life of the tzaddik is satisfaction. So the tzaddik always has a better life. But that's not what his kasha is. His kasha is, in terms of the laws of human existence, shouldn't it be so that if a person is living the life of a tzaddik in line with Ashgacha, that something should not befall him that can prevent him from attaining that? You know, we say Zachrinu L'chaim on Zachrinu L'chaim Melachav. What does it mean, Zachrinu L'chaim Melachav Zachrinu? What does it mean, Zachrinu L'chaim? Life? Physical life? Is that what it means? Taisus disagrees. Taisus doesn't mean that at all. It says Chaim means Chay Olam Haba. Okay, Chay Olam Haba. What does it mean? Why are you asking God for Chay Olam Haba? What it means is, we never recognize the good life as being a physical life. A person lives for a certain amount of years. It's the quality of life that makes a difference. One day of quality of life is worth more than a whole life of pain and torture. Anybody with a brain knows that. Anybody who's intelligent. So what does it mean, Zachrin L'chaim? It means Zachrin L'chaim L'chay Olam Haba means that you ask God to remember you, that the events, a person's success, his success, the real success in perfection, is dependent upon his bechira and upon the situations that he finds, he confronts during his lifetime. So Zachrin L'chaim means you're asking God that I should encounter situations that improve my life, that give me a truly good existence. That's really what Chaim means. Taisa says, all the Chaim does not mean physical life, but people understand. That's just a very low level person. He's afraid to die, or he's in his power for just he should live. I mean, living doesn't mean anything. What if he lives? Russia lives too. It's the worst thing for him. Zachrin L'chaim means the Chaim that is real Chaim, which is Chayel Labo, which means that he should encounter situations that he can exercise his Bechira properly. So this is his question. That's Yesh Hevel, but I have seen Tzaddikim, that even though they're tzaddikim, and even though they exercise their bechira properly, but they encounter situations that leads to their inability to move further, and leads to an aborted kind of existence. How could that be? That's his question. Now you'll say, okay, it's a rarity. A rarity is a good answer for an average person. But it's not a good answer for a real philosopher, because a real philosopher, if there's one exception, there's no rule. That's it. One exception is the end of the rule. So what was disturbing Shlomo HaMelech in Sefer Kehelis? In Sefer Kehelis, what's disturbing him is, he says, when you take a look out there, you don't see, at least we don't see, the system working. We don't see the system working. Okay? So you'll say, what kind of a question is this? If you look out there, you don't see the system working. So you'll say, no, but God knows. And who are you? Your mind, you can't expect to understand God's justice. All right? Anyone that thinks that is simply crazy, because he sees in every area God's chachma, he can't even begin to understand. I mean, we understand a little bit about science. People think we understand a lot about science. But the bigger the scientist, the more he knows how little we understand about it. Okay? So the real chachamim know that their knowledge is really very limited, very small. Very small. They're groping, trying to find, groping. Hundreds of years and make one little move. That's the way man progresses. So what does it bother me if I take a look around and I don't see corroboration for the system of the Torah, for the tzaddik, for the Russia? So what? But I know that God knows, and that's enough for me. Okay? Well, what's the answer to that question? That's a question of the loser. What's the